We take that ride on the mountaintop, falling into ourselves without trying to stop. I have only one rough moment. I'm a mermaid rising from the sparkling sea, but when I look down, the water is my mother's face, tight and fearful. I'm suddenly afraid and wish I could stop. But in the next moment, we're swept away to Felicity's tent. Our eyes are shining, our skin's rosy, our all-knowing smiles are back. Our bodies feel like luxurious sighs as we stand in the great hall, completely invisible. Oh God, the great and terrible beauty of it! Around us, the motion of the room has slowed to the lethargic tempo of a music box coming unwound. Their voices are deep, and every word seems to take a lifetime to say. Mrs. Nightwing sits in her chair, reading David Copperfield aloud to the younger girls. The temptation is too much for me. I touch her arm ever so slightly. She doesn't stop reading, but slowly, slowly, her free hand lifts and comes to rest on the spot I've touched. She scratches at the place where my hand has been, an irritation like an insect bite she's reacted to and forgotten again. It's extraordinary. Pippa lets out with a tiny whelp of joy.
They can't see us. It's as if we're not really here. Oh, the things I'd like to do.
Why not do them? Felicity says, arching a brow. With that, she reaches over and flips the book in Mrs. Nightwing's hands so that it's upside down. It takes her a moment to register, but when she does, she's completely perplexed. The girls at her feet cover their mouths with their hands to suppress their giggles.
Why is everything so slow? I say, leaning my hand against a marble column.
It wriggles beneath my hand, and I pull it back fast. The column is alive. Hundreds of tiny marble fairies and satyrs move on the surface. An odious little gargoyle unfurls his wings, cocks his head to one side.
You see things the way they really are now, he says. The others think this is only dreaming, but they live in the dream, not us.
He spits and wipes his nose on his wing.
Ugh, Felicity says. Disgusting. I'm tempted to squash him.
With a screech, the gargoyle is off, flying higher on the column. A glimmering fairy boy with yellow eyes smiles up at me.
Why don't you free us, then? His voice is a soft murmur.
Free you?
We're trapped here. Free us, just for a moment, long enough to stretch our wings.
All right, I say. It seems a reasonable request, after all.
You are free.
With screeches and yelps, the fairies and nymphs run down the column like water till they're scurrying about the floor, scavenging bits of cheese, hunks of bread, the odd checker piece. It's madness with all these creatures running and flying about.
Gracious!
Pippa squeals. A satyr the size of my thumb strides to a girl seated on the rug. He peeks under the hem of her dress, lets loose with a lascivious howl.
So sweet and plump, he growls.
What filthy creatures, Felicity says, laughing. The ladies of Spence are in for a very naughty treat.
We can't let them do this, I say, half laughing myself at their pranks.
As the satyr climbs the girl's calf, I pick him up with my fingers.
Oh, no, you don't, I chide merrily.
He writhes and curses in protest. In an instant, his face transforms into a demonic mask and he sinks his sharp teeth into the tender skin of my wrist. With a cry of pain, I drop him. Is it my imagination, or is he suddenly larger? Felicity gasps beside me, and now I know it's true. The beast is growing. He looms over us, his horned head touching the ceiling.
Let's see how you taste, sweet or sour.
He hisses in a deep, gravelly voice.
What's happening? Pippa shrieks. Make it stop!
Stop this instant, I shout. The satyr only laughs to see us so frightened. Pippa's pawing at me in her fright.
It isn't working! Why isn't it working?
I don't know, I shout back. Using the magic is more complicated than I thought. I knew this was a bad idea,
Pippa chides. Wasn't she the one begging to do it only moments before?
We've got to get them back on the columns, Felicity screeches.
A gargoyle hops onto my leg. In one quick motion, I grab him by the wings and rush to the fireplace where I hold the naughty beast over the fire. He screams in terror.
Tell me how to undo it.
He curses at me, and I lower him just a bit, till the flames lick at his legs.
Tell me, or I shall drop you in.
The gargoyle calls out to his friends for help, but the satyr only laughs.
Proceed. What's one less gargoyle in the world? It should prove most amusing.
I lower the creature another inch.
Tell me!
He screams.
Yes, yes, I shall tell you. Repeat after me. For your lies in marble shall you lie.
A bare-breasted nymph hops onto the mantle.
You bastard! Don't tell her any more!
For 1,000 years and never die!
The nymph tries to swipe at him, misses, and falls into the fire, which accepts her with a crackle and hiss. Wide-eyed, the gargoyle yells,
That's it! That's the phrase!
Go on then, say it!
Felicity shouts. The satyr has them cornered. Dry-mouthed, I start.
For your lies in marble shall you lie.
The most hideous screeches fill the room. The beasties like their freedom. My heart's beating fast as their wings, and the next part comes out in a rush.
For 1,000 years and never die.
Inches from me, the satyr shrinks down till he's no more than thimble-sized again. Fairies, nymphs, gargoyles, and satyrs whoosh past us, flying backward through the air till they stick fast to the columns, shrieking the entire way. They spit and curse us. Slowly, the marble freezes them into silence, their angry faces and open mouths the only testament to what has just happened. I'm shaking and sweat-drenched. We all look a fright. Pippa shudders.
I never did like this room. Now I know why.
I think I've had enough magic for one night, Felicity says, wiping her brow with the back of her hand. Only Anne disagrees. She lingers near Cecily and Elizabeth.
One last bit of fun. What are you going to do?
Pippa asks. Anne smiles.
Nothing they don't deserve.